Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, October 10th, and Rachel is back.
I'm back.
She's back.
Hi.
Hi to you as well. So so you went out to Vegas for the weekend.
I did, and they plugged LA Talk Radio at the show.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's how they introduced me, because I don't...
How they introduced you. Well, I'm like, where did they... how did they know about it?
It was kind of... the world is so weird. I guess my comedy path is kind of weird because, like we talked about before, usually people get big in their hometown and then they move to LA. Well, like, I've never done anything in my life the right way, like the way that it should be. But somehow I still managed to, like, be here. So I've decided, okay, I'm going to try and do comedy in LA first and then go back to my hometown and be like, what up? I'm doing comedy now. And so I'm on stage and, like, I'm featuring. So I go right before the headliner, but like the opening, some of the opening guest comics have TV credits. So when they get to me, it's like, she has her own co-host radio show on LA Talk Radio. And people are like, what? People still listen to the radio, you know? So it's just whatever. Cool. I mean, it was funny. It was good. It was cool. I did well. I had good shows. I think the booker was like, said I should be getting a lot of work there. Hopefully, you know, it was a genuine
listen,
thing.
Every appearance you have.
I don't think people say things like that if they don't mean it, you know?
No, of course. You know, I mean, why would they?
You right? know? Why would you waste my time?
Right, and his time, right.
And the book, shout out to Warren. He's amazing. Warren Durso. He's a funny comic. He's out in Vegas, and he gave me the time this weekend. So I always appreciate people who you know, like you, Sam, you gave me a platform, he gave me a platform. So
what's stand-up comedy like in Vegas? Is it pretty developed? Do they have a lot of good comedians there?
It's you know what, it's there is a community, there's definitely a community. I wouldn't necessarily, I would maybe call it the like baby brother of the LA comedy scene, because they do have good clubs out there. Like they have Brad Garrett's, and then they have Laugh Factory, and then I think the Improv has some improv somewhere in one of those hotels.
Yeah.
But it's Vegas comics don't normally get booked in the Laugh Factory or in Brad Garrett's. They mainly bring in like New York or LA comics or whatever. So this is one of the venues that does let Vegas comics get stage time and whatever. So I'm learning all about what, because you know, each New York, Vegas, LA, Kansas, you know, they all have their community comedy communities. So like I said, I'm very new to each community, and so I'm just super grateful for anyone who's like super nice to me. And even if you're not, grateful for you too, because it's
there you go,
material,
you know?
Right?
Like, there you go. You know, it's all comedy.
I had two great shows. I had people come out. I worked out some new jokes. And
did your dad come out?
Oh my God, my dad came out for the Friday night one, and I'm literally having conversations with myself in the green room. Like, I'm not gonna cut this out. I'm gonna stay true to my comedy. I don't care. And like, I did the blowjob joke. Oh my God. And then I like look right at him, and I'm like, I'm sorry, Dad. And then like. Everyone else, you know, because
that's good. You see, that's part of
I'm
the
I'm
going to
drop the blowjob joke. It's a great joke. And like, sorry, Dad. And so whatever.
So you let people know your dad is in the audience?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And then
people recognize him,
sure.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he can't go anywhere in Vegas without
being recognized.
Going up to him and stuff. Same with my mom. But like, more, now with the OJ thing. And
So they're accepting you more and more. I mean, I saw the picture of your
they're
mom
so
buying you
supportive. Oh my God, I love
shirt.
Literally, they're just, you know, they're coming around. I think they're starting to see that this is for real what I'm doing, that I've hit the ground running. Like, I'm not going to look back, and like, I'm working so hard at it because I love this and I'm getting better quickly and getting good at it. And they, you know, they like, I'm genuinely making them laugh. And so I think that they're taking it more seriously and just, right. Oh, they're great. They're the best. They're the best. I'm
That's
so
awesome. Well, I'm really happy to hear that, you know, because, you know, sometimes parents, you know, you don't get along with them very well, but.
We didn't. It was rough because think about it. I come from a family of lawyers, right. You know, and I think they had a certain vision for me because it would have been easier, easier for them too. But right. No, it wouldn't have. I would have been, it's misery, yeah. You know.
But I got to tell you, Rachel, the thing for a parent they want to see is just a kid working, but working hard, you know. Whether you succeed or not is irrelevant, but right. Don't sit around doing
well,
nothing.
Well, yeah, they see that I'm hustling, you know, yeah. Like I'm always doing something. She would like me to pick more shifts up at the restaurant, which I will 100% do, Jackie. I 100% will do that. You got my word on the radio. but yeah, so I'm grateful. It was a great weekend. My sister is super proud of me. And it's just when you can see that I can see that they see it and that it's genuine. So.
Well, good. I'm really happy.
They believe in me.
Yeah, you see, time changes. People change, you know. So you just have to be patient.
Oh, but can I just
believe.
Say something?
Yeah.
That, there are some people in my father's coffee group who are talking about CBD lotion, which is
really
sparking the conversation, pun intended. So, you know, they're coming around. You know, they're starting to be open to me, I guess.
To your opinion, your lifestyle. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm glad. Thank you for joining us, everybody, today. We have an awesome guest. We'll bring her on in just a moment. And just a couple things for those of you who don't know. California has been in flames in several parts. It's pretty devastating in Northern California, I guess.
Five separate fires or something all happened.
Or 12, they're saying, or something.
12, wow.
I don't know how many there are, but my God. And 120,000 acres have been burned.
Yeah.
So, and the area burned so far in Napa and Sonoma is 3 times larger than Washington, D.C. That's the size area that happened, you know. In 12 hours, it scorched 20,000 acres.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So, you know, you look at pictures here and you see people losing their homes, people running for their lives and everything. And that's pretty scary, you know. And we still have a drought here and winds and stuff. So,
yeah, the winds have been
you
awful.
You can expect this, you know.
That's the worst
thing
for those fires.
I know. You look at all this devastation, and it turns out that 2017 is really full of natural disasters. That's probably what's going to be like the what we remember this year by.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think it's only going to get worse, as you know, if we don't.
Well, but
this isn't a liberal.
So
this isn't. No. We got to shift. We got to shift the way that we treat our world. You know, we have to. If we can become more solar efficient, if we can, you know, use less coal, and you know what I'm saying. And I think the way we treat our Earth is very much affected in how the Earth treats us back.
Right.
If you think, if you know, like we don't take care of it, and so that's why I think, you know, it's almost like. You fill something to the lid, it's going to tip over. Like, we just, you know, eventually, you know, the Earth has had enough.
Yeah, well, either that or we're just shitting in our own backyard, you know.
But that's the thing is,
habitat.
We have the technology, we have the knowledge. It's just, you know, it's the politics behind it, you know, from shifting to coal, you know, into certain industries, to other industries. And I think
it'll happen, Rachel.
Hopefully.
It's just it's inevitable that all these energies
well it's going to get
on.
To the
it's
point where we that we have no
time.
No choice, whereas
right.
some other countries have been more proactive of like, okay, well, we see this is how it's going to go. We're going to make the change now. Whereas, you know, we literally wait to the last minute.
Yeah.
And then when it's...
Well, we're very reliant on our oil. You know, mm-hmm. we have been for many years.
Yeah.
So going back to the fires, our hearts go out, I guess, to all these people. And I don't understand why on Facebook people write, like, prayers for Vegas. It's like... You're not praying, you know. You can say that I'm thinking of Vegas or something, or Puerto Rico, but
I hear
like my prayers.
Both sides. I'm both sides of that. I'm like, I can give a F what you post on your Facebook. Like, what do you do about it? That's
right.
my thing. But then again, I'm like, if you're that's, I would rather them put that out there than something negative. You know
no,
what I
but
mean?
They're not really praying. That's what
we don't
I'm
know.
Saying.
We don't know. We don't know. We don't know.
Prayers for Vegas. People that know. I know don't pray.
If you don't, if you don't, yeah, exactly. If you don't, if you know, but then like if it's someone you don't know, who's right. Who cares? Who cares? If I would rather them put something like that up than
nice,
like
right.
Than like the tiki torches rolls. And white supremacists and Charlottesville posts.
Yeah.
You know,
like yeah.
We gotta take what we can get nowadays.
I know. A couple more things. Trump boasts of a higher IQ than Tillerson. It's like my dick is bigger than yours, kind of, right?
Can you please just tell me how ridiculous he is?
I mean, what is this? This is the president
of the United
States.
This is a joke, right? This is a joke?
It really isn't.
Oh, man, I'm so ashamed this morning. I sometimes, like, people have, like, they get up in the morning. They have their morning routine. They drink their coffee. They eat a banana. They go to the bathroom. I get into fights with Trump supporters. I haven't learned my lesson yet. Like, I just this one, my poor old, it's my boss. From Florida, he's the best. I wasn't in a fight with him. He's the smart, one of the smartest guys I know. I love him, but he
right.
puts up these like stirring the pot Facebook posts because he's friends with people on both sides,
oh.
And he knows like of sometimes like I'll bite it just because it gets me writing. I don't know, it's so bad my justification. But here I am, I'm like Twitter thumbs and Facebook fingers, you know, just like. Getting into fights with these like people who I know are just in the education department and in the IQ department are less fortunate than I am, and like you know, but really they're just white males who are Trump supporters. Not white males. I date a white male. He's a good dude. We got his DNA test back. He's mainly Scandinavian. He's the whitest guy you could ever date. My boyfriend thought he was like French and
really?
Like something else,
the
and he gets
time?
This ancestry.com. Oh my God, true story. Watch Stephen Colbert or like one of the, I forget which talk show host last night. He said people, like a lot of white supremacists, are getting these ancestry tests sent out. They get them back and they find out there are a lot of them are like African American. They're so mad. Anyways, So I forgot where I was going with that, but anyways, that's what I was doing this morning, and I need to limit myself to once a week to these activities.
I know it's like for the president to start comparing.
I just
IQs
can't. It's
because
just,
somebody
it's
said
so
that
hard
Tillerson
for me
called him a moron.
I get that. I can't. It's so hard for me to. That's why I moved out of Florida. I just couldn't do it. You know, like there's so much you can go along with for so long,
right.
You know, like, right. And there are people out there who still support this man, and it's not a party thing. It's
right.
A man.
Yeah,
there are
yeah.
Good Republicans out there.
Right.
I believe it.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
there really are. Like, I think, and honestly, if the good Republicans and the good Democrats just kind of stood up, they would save the parties. They would make people still proud to want to be a part of whatever political party is, because people on both sides are. I don't like Hillary Clinton, and I hate when people come at me that just because I don't support Trump automatically means I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter, which is not true.
Right,
I just want
right.
A good person
right.
to run our country, whatever side you're on. And I don't want you to tell me that I can't have birth control or an abortion, and you know, and
yeah.
I want to smoke weed and whatever, and don't
and
just don't give mentally ill people guns. Like, I have small requests, you know. Like, if you want to hunt, whatever, do your thing, but just don't kill the you know, the baby pigs. I'll eat bacon, but not the baby pigs. Don't
okay,
do, you know,
gotcha.
Like, I have simple requests.
All right, well, we're gonna bring in a guest right
I'm
now.
I'm gonna have to transcribe that.
I know.
I'm gonna use all that on stage next week.
I know, and we got like 3 hours of. What stuff to talk about. What we do have a guest here. We're joined by Chris.
I know. I want to hear all of her thoughts on everything.
Yeah, and you're
going
to have to get close to the mic. No more sitting back now. You're part of the show. We're joined by Chris Angelis. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, thank you.
Is that your true last name?
Yeah.
You're named after Los Angeles?
It's spelled differently, actually. There's an IS at the end.
Okay.
It's from Greek. It used to be Angelidis. My great-grandfather, Demetrius Angelidis, came through Ellis Island, and they changed it to James
Angelidis.
So
you're
really?
I love Greece. I studied abroad there.
Oh, that's awesome. I've never been.
What part of Greece was your...
That would be really cool if I knew that, right?
You got to get Ancestry.com. They should start paying me.
You see, my dad was born in Greece, you know?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Jewish but is
there were a lot of Jews there. And they left before the war, and the ones that stayed were slaughtered.
I honestly want to get one of these kits because I'm people come up to me and they ask me what I am, and I feel like I've been lying to them this whole time because what my parents told me, like, I'm like Eastern European, Russian, German, Polish, but what I am could be very different than what my sister is. She could get more of the...
That's true.
You know what I mean? Or
that's
even things
exactly
we don't
right.
even know about. So
my sister and I would be the same, I think. We're identical twins.
But you know, they even show you twins because you can have in your genes the things that
but
you can't
identical
see.
Twins.
But identical
I know, but
twins
weird.
Are the same,
they're
right?
The same DNA.
Yeah, the same.
But completely. Just try and get one of these tests and tell me if you because that'll be interesting too. If
that
you're
is interesting.
If you're because but there are things that I wouldn't even think that you could be. That it's crazy.
What's it like to have another person like you out there in the world? I mean, you never knew it.
Can she sing too?
Yeah, she sings with me sometimes.
Really?
Oh my god, you guys are identical.
So I mean, that's the whole life you knew is to have another person like you out there.
I know
in the
it's
world.
Funny when people ask me like, "What's it like to have a twin?" I'm like, "I don't know. What's it like not to have a twin?"
Yeah, exactly. Right. Wow.
Oh my god, I couldn't handle another one of me.
I mean, we definitely
have. You ever? Were you ever competitive with each other?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine like how unfair? Literally, an exact. How cruel is that?
Right.
It is. Well, I mean, I came to LA because I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
And
don't tell me she did too.
She is.
Oh, really?
And so I actually sort of.
But there's a market for twins.
Totally. And we do a lot of twin acting.
And you
together.
Guys are
really
hot.
Fun.
Which is, it's like.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but she's very beautiful. Absolutely. So you moved here. Where did you move from?
Actually, I moved more recently from Northern California, Carmel, but I'm originally from Florida.
Oh, really?
Outside of Gainesville.
Okay, up north, which is like a different, you know how there's
it's
North Korea
like the
and then there's South Korea?
Right.
Well, like Northern Florida is like South Korea. And
it's like South Georgia.
Yeah.
It's but you they're know, so different.
But Northern California is quite different from Southern California too, wouldn't you say?
I would definitely say that, but like, but they also kind of are similar in mind.
They are.
In many ways, values and morals, I feel like,
well,
in
California,
a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah. In, whereas Florida's very, pockets of it are very
That's
vastly
true.
Politically, religiously,
totally.
Demographically, culturally
right.
different.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Which
I
is
agree.
The same for California.
I agree.
Too, I think.
So you guys grew up in Florida. Mm-hmm. What was your childhood like? Do you have any other siblings other than you two?
No, it's just the two of us.
Uh-huh.
And my childhood was pretty idyllic, actually. We lived on a 45-acre farm/ranch outside of Gainesville. It was like 45 minutes to any kind of civilization, you know, to get to like the Pizza Hut. we go every Tuesday.
I went to college in a town like that, literally one stoplight.
Where was it?
Putney, Vermont.
Okay.
So it's like it's a country. It's like in the country.
Yeah.
You know?
But it was kind of cool because Gainesville at least is a university town. So we're the University of Florida. So I am a Gator.
And you were around young people.
Yeah. But we moved when I was 11. So I didn't really get much of that. But I did have the experience of, you know, growing up on a farm with horses and cows and
That's
tree
amazing.
Houses.
How great. So you got that experience too and stuff. But then you realized I need to be a city girl. I can't be a country girl anymore.
I mean, I didn't move to California when I was 11 by myself.
Okay.
My mom got
That's
a
right.
Job.
You said by at 11. That's right.
Yeah.
But so your mom wanted to live here.
Well, she got a job in Monterey. Uh-huh. And it's, I feel very lucky to have lived in so many beautiful places. Carmel and Monterey are gorgeous.
Oh,
yeah,
so beautiful up there.
Carmel by the sea is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And Monterey is right next to it.
And that aquarium is so lit.
It's so beautiful. There's just like ocean everywhere. There are so many theaters, and that's how I got into being able to sing and dance and
That's interesting because it's not really a big place, but
it's
there's
not,
a lot of theater.
It has
huh?
like, I feel like, I don't know what the actual statistic is, but I heard that it has like a crazy number of theaters per capita. That, like, you know, compared
it's such
to
an artsy town. Like, it just promotes it beauty
like,
and
yeah.
art and, you know.
I would be in like
expression.
Three shows at once when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Oh my
that
gosh.
Was funny. One thing that stands out in my memory about Monterey is I remember as we drove in, I look at like a front yard of a building and there's a deer right there.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, does that happen?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
And that's like not in the woods, you know? I mean, this is like right in town,
Paradise.
You know? Right
Paradise.
In town.
Yeah, well, because Carmel and Monterey have stayed underdeveloped enough that it is still kind of like, you know, there's trees everywhere. It feels like a park, but there are, you know, some buildings and houses. And yeah, deer and wild turkeys and all kinds of things walk through my parents' yard all the time.
Yeah. And then there's a 17-mile drive. Is that what it is? From Carmel to Monterey, which is just a beautiful drive, you know.
Just along
the ocean. You grew up in nice areas, nice places, right?
Yeah, I've been lucky.
And then you moved to L.A. and things changed.
Oh, gosh. This is not the worst place, though.
It's the best place.
There are worse places to live, for sure.
I mean, look, everybody moves here. It's because it's the most awesome place. You know, otherwise people wouldn't be moving here by the millions.
I mean, it definitely has pretty amazing weather, like if you like weather, sun.
Right.
And there's lots of stuff here.
There's everything here. It's just a question of you got to find your spot. You got to find your place.
Yeah, you got to find your tribe of good people.
More importantly. Otherwise, the place will suck.
Right, you know? And it'll eat you up alive.
It was like in Florida. Florida was so beautiful, but you had to find your tribe of decent people, who... You know, did the same drugs he did.
That's right. So you went to school in back in Florida then?
I went to elementary school in Florida.
High
school in Carmel. I went to Carmel High.
That's what I wondered, yes.
Did you go to college?
Carmel High. Mm-hmm. Was that when Clint Eastwood was mayor?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
He would come to, like, plays that I was in because his kids were in them, too.
Really? How cool is that, you know? I mean, look, for an actor, for being an actor to be a mayor, I can go for that. But a reality show becoming a president, that's too much, you know? So... let them take the smaller jobs. Go be a mayor of Carmel.
I mean, I honestly don't know like all about Clint Eastwood's politics because I wasn't that aware of like that when I was that age. But I just feel like if you were a reality show host that actually had any sort of political, you know.
Yeah.
Smarts and weren't, you know, an emotional crazy person. Maybe it would be fine.
Yeah. It's funny how we all seem to be in agreement, you know, and even though we're differently on the political spectrum. But I think this sort of united us in a way that is like God save us all. You know?
For real.
Yeah. We're joined by Chris Angelis. You're a musician. You're a singer. Do you write your own music?
I do, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, but you obviously created a brand on your own without your sister, right?
Yeah.
Because you guys don't have to do things together.
Right.
Right. but the question is, do you guys live close by? Are you pretty close, really?
Yeah, yeah. We live about 10 minutes away from each other. Yeah. And that's nice. We've lived together into our adulthood at certain times, and we get along a lot better when we don't live together.
Really?
I mean, we see each other all the time.
And are you guys similar? Like, are you guys, do you like the same things?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
I can imagine what it to be. Can you imagine? You not only have to look at yourself all the time.
Yeah. But you're constantly being like, I mean, imagine if
just
you...
Just imagine living with yourself.
Right? Yeah.
I couldn't live with my... live with myself.
Can't stand you. Can you shut up?
Yeah.
It's like one person split in two. Two equal parts.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever dated twins?
I dated an identical twin, but she did not date the other one.
Oh, okay.
Because they were both with other people. I feel like if they had both been single, they might have... Like,
well, here's what I want to know. Two identical twins date and marry two identical twins and have kids. Will their kids look alike?
Probably. I mean, they'll be genetically like siblings.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's not illegal.
No. It's weird.
Modern family.
And awesome. No, I
think
know.
It's cool. There's I want to know. Awesome I need mystery. Science. I need pictures. I need an Instagram.
I know. It's stuff we don't think about every day.
Twins that
you know?
Married twins that had kids.
Well, I'm sure they are. They exist.
I'm sorry. I think it's... I bet you just get the twin fest. People are so fascinated by twins because it's just why are we so fascinated? But it really is a fascinating thing because it's you imagine.
Yeah, it's not that common. You
well, know? I mean, do you have
what is it? One in a thousand births or something?
I don't know.
Do you have the twin like when you can both feel something? You know how they talk about Lifetime movies?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that it's necessarily like a magical thing. I think that there is something about energy and brainwaves and people, you know, yes. can kind of like have intuition about things. And the fact that we've had so many of the same experiences and think
independently and same, from each other or together.
No, just like together. When we grew up together and you kind of have the same memories and the same thoughts about things. And we, yeah, we know each other really well. So we can, you know, we freak our friends out by, I'll walk in the room from like not even being there. And she'll be like, hey, Chris, you know the, and I'm like, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, what are they? And it's like, we just know what we're talking about.
You know
about.
What you're talking about. Wow.
So yeah, there's things like that.
Now, as far as your faces, do you look very much alike? Because mm-hmm. I can tell you that
they're identical.
No, I know, but I've seen some identical twins that don't look as much as each other as unidentical
twins. Yeah, I've heard that too, because, right, aren't the Olsen twins supposed to be not identical, which is
really
strange. This is what I've heard. I don't know.
But no, I mean,
is the difference between identical and fraternal, again?
It's usually, as far as I know, fraternal aren't identically... come from the same egg. One egg, one sperm, and they split completely apart into two.
Right.
But... fraternal can come from two eggs.
Two eggs. It's just two eggs fertilized at the same time.
So it's like siblings, but you were born at the same time.
Right.
So one sperm and two eggs, that is some powerful sperm.
No, it would be two eggs, two sperm.
Oh, yeah, two eggs, two sperms. Yeah, it's like two separate pregnancies in there, right?
Yeah, at the same time.
But there are different...
But then if you come from one egg, you can come from one egg...
Right.
Yeah. And then
so
you
it's
just,
like you take a person and you split it into two separate whole people.
Because when
you know?
It starts dividing, when like the cells start dividing, it just actually divides completely apart.
That's so cool.
And actually, my only twins that I know of in my family are my great uncle, who they figure was a twin because his twin like wasn't born. Because he was a mirror image of a normal person, and that sometimes happens with twins where like the egg splits apart and it's like a mirror image. So he was like, you know, his heart was on the
right?
other side.
Oh, I
and, like,
see what
everything
you're saying.
Went the
I see what you're saying.
Direction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you guys are on the opposite, your hearts and stuff.
No, we're the same.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're the same.
Oh,
I see the mirror saying. Twins are really rare.
Yeah. You see, I can just tell you that I know two sets of twins. One is identical. They look different. And the ones that are not identical look
twins.
More alike.
My cousins are twins, but they're boy and a girl, so they're obviously not identical.
Yeah. But look, I mean, we have billions of people in the world. Everything is possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my gosh. Did you know, speaking of like the two pregnancies at the same time, uh-huh. did you know you can get pregnant while you're pregnant?
I think I've heard that.
Like later, like you can be pregnant, and then like 2 months later, you get pregnant again.
How is that possible? Does that happen quite often?
Because you still ovulate. I don't.
That's why they tell you immediately. That's why they tell you not to have. Well, one when you are right, you're extremely fertile. Like I think either towards the end of your pregnancy or right after you have kids.
Oh yeah,
and they tell you not to have. Yeah,
or don't have unprotected
unless
anyway.
If you do, right. unless you want to have another
another child immediately.
Jesus.
Yeah, and that's probably what happened to people before birth control. Because if you see a lot of families like mm-hmm. from back in the old days, the kids were born like a year apart or something.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So that was very weird at
they
the
didn't
time.
Waste any
you know,
time.
No, because they couldn't have protected sex at the time.
I can't imagine that, like having an infant and being pregnant. Ugh. That
right.
sounds
miserable.
Sounds really exhausting.
Torture.
It really is exhausting, you know. But, Chris, so let's get a little bit about into your career and everything.
Yeah.
So at what point did you decide in your life, did you go to college at all?
Yeah, I went to UCSB.
Oh, in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good school, right?
Yeah.
Wow. You see, she knows how to live.
Mm-hmm.
Every place she lived is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why not? That's smart.
So when you're in LA, you need to live on the beach too, right?
I know. I want to.
Yeah, I know. Don't we all? But it's so expensive
here.
Yeah. My God. But and as you go south, it gets more and more expensive, you
mm-hmm.
know. But yeah, at least we have the beach here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can go there. So you went to Santa Barbara. What did you major in?
I started off doing pre-med biology, and I did that for 2 years, and then I switched to psychology, and I graduated after 3 years with a psychology degree.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then you decided, so is the music, though, bigger part of your life than the psychology at this point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is. So you decided not to pursue like career in psychology?
Yeah. Well, because initially why I did pre-med is because I wanted to do physical therapy. And I actually got into the PhD program at USC for the physical therapy. And then I was like, you know what? I don't really want to give my life away to this right now. And I want to focus on music and acting. And so I did that.
How cool is that? You see, Rachel, there you go. Mirror image of you.
I'm giving my life away to stand-up comedy. Right. Some would say that's a terrible idea, but I don't care.
But listen, you only get to live once.
Yeah.
You may as well do the things you want to do.
100%.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I wanted to be in the entertainment industry. I would probably, you know, I'd be a doctor and I would be making money and stuff now if I did the other thing, but... Yeah. You know, there's always gives and takes, right?
Right, and there's different things and stuff. Do you believe, I mean, you probably find it difficult to stand out in this field with millions of other people trying to get to the same place as you do.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I mean, have you figured out, how do I stand out? How do I make my music heard out there?
Have I figured it out? No, I would never say I've figured
it
out.
No, but what are you doing?
Well, the thing is, okay, I had a sort of an epiphany a while ago that... there's no use in feeling competitive. There's no use in feeling like, oh my gosh, there's so much out there. How could I possibly, who am I?
Right.
Because everyone is unique. Mm-hmm. Every person, regardless, and everyone who's making music is doing something that is unique to themselves. And we're all a big community that can help each other. And we're all just, you know, we're the music makers.
Right.
You know? And so that made me feel good. Like, it's not a competition. Mm-hmm. It's just like a community that I get to be part of. And in terms of trying to get more eyes on me, I've been experimenting with doing a lot of live streaming, which has been really fun, actually, because I've just in the last year started doing that. And it's things like Periscope. It's good for discovery because anyone can just look at the map, you know, and be like, oh, I want to check out this thing in LA. Someone's singing. Oh, look. So I get a lot of people who've never seen me before every time I go on. Whereas, you know, if you are on Twitter or Facebook or something, that's just already the people who already know you.
That's true.
So, yeah, getting new eyes and ears is the challenge. But just trying to get on like the playlists and stuff. It's like the new radio.
Right. Well, if we like your songs, we're going to play them on our station if you want.
Because
we play music between shows every hour. So that would be cool. And usually upbeat, good songs I like, you know.
Cool.
So, and we listen to it. In just a moment, you have a whole a slew of songs and stuff, you know.
I mean,
wow.
A slew of songs.
But, so we'll get, you know what, so let's, do you have like a certain genre to your music or do you do different things?
Oh my gosh, that's a complicated question. I usually say that it's like indie folk pop, sort of like a Sarah Bareilles, Ingrid Michaelson vibe.
Okay, I don't know any of those, but but we better just let the music speak for itself.
Well, I'll
right?
speak to what, if you're going to play the single that just came out on Friday,
okay.
This one is a little bit different. And why I was saying that was a complicated thing is because I have been, this year especially, branching out into just doing a lot of co-writes and working with a bunch of different producers because I was just like, whatever, I want to try new stuff. Like,
come out
of my comfort zone, even if it's not the stuff that I feel like as strongly as like this is the kind of music that... you know, naturally comes from my soul, which I think is more on the Americana folky pop side, if that makes sense. I've been experimenting with these different producers that are doing more like, I'm on a track with this guy, Hot Work, whose name is Chase Wasner, but his producer name is Hot Work, that sounds like a club track, which is, it was like so crazy for me. But this song, Bright Side, that just came out on Friday, is a lot more percussive and upbeat and definitely poppy than a lot of my music, which is more storytelling and folk based. But it's really fun. And I went into that writing session with the idea to make something like that, just as like a, you know, we all need to have something that you can just snap and dance to and like feel good. So that's what
that's me. I like to dance and feel good. And, you know, when it's funny with me because I discovered some new songs recently. I always do, you know, through Spotify and stuff. But when I find a great new song, I'll play the shit out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Until you can't stand it anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, right? I realize, like, okay, so there's a thing with Spotify. the people who even have the Spotify subscriptions where they're like, oh, I pay the $15 or whatever it is right. a month, and so I'm doing my part, I'm not pirating, and it's like, that's good. But the amount that the artists get is still so small per play.
I know.
You would have to play, and in order for me to get the amount of money that I would get from if you bought my single on iTunes, say, for me to get that amount from playing it on Spotify, you'd have to play it 250 times.
Wow.
And how many songs have you ever in your whole life That's listened to 250 true. Times? But I found this song by Jeff Hahn called Wine and Whiskey last week, and I've been right. trying.
He right. deserves 250.
Yeah. So. But you know what? The thing is this, is you got to remember one thing, though. Without Spotify, you wouldn't get the exposure.
Oh, yeah,
So
absolutely.
You get the exposure, and so it's not only the one thing that you do, but you use it as part of your mix of
absolutely.
Marketing
Absolutely. I'm not...
Stuff.
I'm vilifying Spotify at all. Like, right. there's definitely pluses to
because,
it.
Because,
sure.
yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, I feel like, look, I don't want to carry my music around. I like the idea of Spotify. I can listen to it anywhere, on mm-hmm. any device, at any time.
Absolutely. I listen
you know,
to Spotify.
Right. You know, it's the biggest jukebox in the world. You yeah. can get any song that you couldn't even get by downloading anyway, you know, if you went on Amazon or
Who
iTunes,
has a Spotify
whatever.
Login, I can...
I do. Throw. I do, mm-hmm. but, well, you need your Facebook login, so you don't really want to share it with anyone. But you can download it, but it's only in shuffle mode. You can never control
mean?
The music
on Spotify. Just,
yeah,
you can if you subscribe. You
That's
can play
what I'm saying.
You want.
Yeah, she has. I told her for free. You can just do the shuffle
oh,
mode.
Yeah, yeah.
I pay every month because I love it. It does mm-hmm. what I need it to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It offers me new songs, suggests all kinds of new stuff, and I'm like, yeah.
yeah.
I'll take
and
it.
I, like I said, I think that is great, and it's great for discovery if you can get on playlists and stuff. Like I said, it's a new radio, but I'm just also saying, if you really support an artist and you really love them,
you
buy their
album.
Song.
That's yeah. true. That's true. But you know what? I mean, that's a lot of artists to support, and how would I? Yeah, I guess you can buy it, right?
Put it on mute and just play their songs on repeat on Spotify.
Right.
Unless you really want to listen to it 100 times like, while you're
That's
sleeping.
That's true. But look, the thing is this, Chris, and let me tell you, you guys are facing what a lot of people are facing mm-hmm. right now, and that is you can't make a lot of money from things that can be duplicated.
Sure.
Digital, you know, mm-hmm. like movies, songs, you know, books, graphics, anything, you know. It's all available digitally, and people yeah. can duplicate it. So what you have to ask yourself, okay, so what do I do? I can't fight it. I mean, mm-hmm. when Napster came out and people were exchanging actual files for free, everybody was up in arms, but you couldn't stop it.
Right.
You know, I remember at the time when they were talking about the ethics of it and mm-hmm. everything, I thought, you know what? I would pay $1 per song if I could. And then iTunes came out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. And
yeah.
then I started being able to pay for the music I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But so now I'm paying Spotify.
I remember Napster.
Yeah.
Well, and because there's also now, like you were saying, it is hard now that everything's digitized and it's so easy to duplicate. People have to get a lot more creative about their merch. Like the merch that you can't duplicate.
Oh,
like
I see. Okay, so with merchandise
stuff.
And stuff, right?
And, you know, tickets, and that's how people can... Someone said, I don't know if they said it in exactly this way, but made a really good point that music is kind of like the ads. It's like the commercial for your merch now.
Yeah,
like
right?
Like, it should be about your music.
Right.
But most artists aren't making most of their money
right.
from
it's
the music
it's
sales.
It's in tickets.
Right.
Or
you don't have
it's
to.
In merch.
Exactly.
Like you said. They yeah.
Right. But you don't have to. As long as you do, if you are able to earn some income, who cares what revenue stream it's
oh,
from?
Oh, yeah, no. I'm,
because the
yeah.
thing is this. Look, you're going uphill here. I mean, being new... And everything, and not just you. I'm talking mm-hmm. about everybody that gets started. You're new, and it, you know, and I mean, even the big artists, their music is available for free if you're on Spotify and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come around, and you know, and you're trying to sell your music, but someone goes, "Well, I don't know her yet," you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that the money has to come from a different thing, and that's how a lot of businesses do it. Because think of how many things people like all the apps we find, they're all free, right? All the apps are free, but then they build an audience and they sell advertising. So they can say, look, we're doing the app because we really love the work and everything, and that's fine. You shouldn't mm-hmm. stop.
Well, yeah,
but
and that's
the
why
money comes with it.
A lot
you know?
Of people, you know, make ad revenue from YouTube and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, so you'll figure
or
it
you
out.
Can get
you know,
sponsored but by brands like to do tours and stuff if you can get big enough.
That's true, right? Mm-hmm. So let's listen to some of the music and because okay. You've been working hard on this and this is what you gave up medicine for.
Yeah.
So, so no, but
don't remind her
or my parents.
We have to be realistic here, but no. So the song "Bright Side." So this one just came out. You said you
just
released
came out on Friday.
It. That's cool. And tell us a little bit about this. This is it's with Adrian Gonzalez.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the one I was just talking about a little bit. But Adrian Gonzalez, she's an amazing singer, songwriter, and producer. She is a member of The Rescues, if you've heard of that band. I love them. I've loved them for years. And so I actually, we were introduced to each other by a mutual friend. And she, when she emailed me, she's like, oh, my friend sent me your music. And I love it. I love your voice. And I'm like a fan. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm a fan. Shut up. Like, we just fangirled at each other. And then we're like, let's make music together. I'm like, heck yeah, let's do that. And then, yeah, I came
in with...
This
is the result of it.
...wanting to do something happy and empowering. You'll see. It's like about looking on the bright side of life and not letting anything get you down. Or you know, even if it does, you can make lemons into lemonade. And
right.
It was really fun.
Sounds good. So, I mean, I'm a big person of respecting lyrics, but for me, music... a song is more the music side.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now that we know what it's about, let's go ahead and take a listen.
Cool.
Now, this is a fun song. You can already tell. Bright Side, Chris Angeles. That's awesome, man. I like that.
I can definitely see that being played in the clubs, you know, like with
really?
A sick remix. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just like one of those clubs that go till like 9 in the morning and you walk out, it's like daylight.
That'd
you know
cool.
what I mean? Like in Miami.
The remix, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
very nice.
No,
and your voices go together very nicely,
yeah.
You know. Huh. Do you sing together, both of you sing?
On this track,
yeah.
She was singing in some of the gang vocals and the chorus.
Right.
And then actually we didn't get to the part where there's like a
oh really okay so let's continue that. It just said we don't have a lot of time.
No,
I still
want
to talk about it a
lot. You can listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. We just tease you
or
here.
Buy it.
And besides, because
exactly.
You said this song doesn't necessarily represent the music you generally do, so I wanted to hear some of the other stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
Cool.
So which one do you recommend? We're going down the... you have the singles here, right?
Yeah, well,
do
if you
want to
go
play any of those?
My EP that just came out in June is called Heartbreak is Contagious. If you play Heartbreak is Contagious, that song.
Yeah.
That one's more...
Okay, sounds good. Heartbreak is Contagious.
Smile, yeah, you really got me.
This is a pretty good song.
Do you play the guitar?
Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, you sound a little Alanis Morissette-y.
Oh,
I love that. She was like my first cassette tape.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you like, are you a fan of her music?
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can hear you, but you have a lovely voice.
Thank you. And you go up and down, you know, I mean, it's not like a monotonous kind of,
Like I could just see you on Broadway.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Have you done musical theater?
I have.
Yeah.
I have, but that hasn't been what I've been pursuing, but.
I just see you playing like a main character in a musical, because
that would be,
you know what I mean,
dream.
Like, don't limit yourself to just do, because like there's you're beautiful and you can sing, which I mean they look for girls
just like you
to play like Beauty and the Beast
mean.
You know what I mean,
maybe
like
I'll
can literally
auditioning, but I just feel
bad
because there's people who've been, you know, that's their whole life they've been auditioning,
whatever, like you said, you know, just
but
be
doesn't
open
matter.
And
they
if,
always
you,
look for new
if,
stuff
because
you
that
know?
Would be I feel like you would you like something
oh,
like
yeah.
that because it combines both
it does,
of your two
yeah.
and I could definitely
I mean,
see you being,
I know that Ingrid Michaelson actually just got to be on Broadway for a little while, and actually you guys heard of the Spider-Man musical, right?
Yeah,
my friend Reeve was Peter Parker in that, and he started out and still is a singer-songwriter. And he's
for
a band.
Sure, if you get the opportunity to cast, I would be sad to hear if you didn't go and at least try.
I would
it. You know what I mean?
Do
please,
that, for sure.
Please.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what you get. You sound really excited and passionate about that. So mm-hmm. I think that's what you need to pursue. You
okay.
know, just whatever.
I mean, pursue everything.
You know?
Pursue everything. But I'm just saying, like, I really feel like I could see, you know, like in
that's
the musical.
And you know what? If you don't find a good musical, then you create your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works today, right?
That are doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look.
Oh my God, I went to see Willy Wonka in the Weed Factory.
What?
They literally, it was so great. It was good. But that's what I'm saying. There's nothing that we are of this generation of entrepreneurs and creators, and there's nothing that can limit. If we can't find something, we create it. You know,
mm-hmm.
we create our own space, our own
right.
whatever.
It's fantastic.
Well, that's
sure.
true. I don't know. But listen, you
well, that's what you did.
Music.
You created
yeah.
your own radio station.
I did,
you know?
and that's what I mean.
You did
know?
It before was cool, Sam.
Right. No, that's true. 10 years ago, man. Looking back, I'm like, I can't believe I actually started this. But yeah, it was a dream. You know, I didn't care that I was going to make money at it or
exactly.
anything. I just wanted to have a radio show. And I figured, what the hell, you know?
That's great.
I'll do a radio
it
show wherever I want to listen.
It because you would still be doing it either way.
Exactly. That's why I can totally relate to you guys. You
yeah.
know, it's like, do what you love. And I'm telling you, the money's going to happen. But you got to...
You got to start somewhere.
Right.
And you got to work hard.
People need to know
yeah.
you exist. And you need to stand out somehow.
Yeah. I was listening to this podcast called Don't Keep Your Day Job. And yeah, it's great. And they have a bunch of all different kinds of entrepreneurs that have made what they love into a successful career. And she was talking, Kathy Heller is the person who runs it, and she was talking to this woman who has studied grit, which is just, you know, about passionately pursuing goals and not giving up.
Yeah.
And she was saying that, like, there's been scientific studies that show that grit is the number one indicator of success. It's not uh-huh. talent. It's not money. It's not connections. It's how much you work at it and how much you
yeah.
don't give up.
Yeah. yeah. And that's because it makes total sense. Because if you fill your day, you fill your day with one thing, it's inevitable you're going to succeed at it,
mm-hmm.
you know? Just like if you fill your day with, like, doing drugs, you'll succeed at it.
Yeah.
You'll do very well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying, you know? If you focus, and that's why people ask me, you know, and I said, well, you just got to stay focused on what it is you're doing. Don't spread yourself too thin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Decide, this is what I want to do. If there's adjustments to make on the way, you do.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to stay... And say to yourself, this is where I want to be.
And be mm-hmm. focused.
Yeah.
Yeah, put yourself out there.
Yeah. And Rachel is an inspiring example, and Chris is an inspiring example.
I know, I
want
to see your
stand-up. So, you know.
Are you local in town?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
well, then I'm
going to
come see your performances and stuff.
Yeah,
do you perform live?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
That's cool. Like, what are some of the venues?
I play at Hotel Cafe.
Ooh,
okay. Mara Lubitsch. Where else?
That's all. They all Blanking. Have. Those are all places they do. Do you do anything with musical comedy?
No.
No. That's
also
for you.
Also something to think
yeah,
about.
That's for you.
I have zero music. In fact, I would babies die every time I try and sing somewhere parts of the world.
I've never written a song. I mean, I guess I have written a few songs that have little kind of like cheeky moments in them. But I do tell stories in between my songs and tell little jokes. And people
love that.
People think that
that's
they're cool. funny.
That's so brilliant.
They
that's brilliant.
They get to spend an evening with you, not yeah. just hearing music. Very cool. Well, we got to spend a whole morning with you, yeah. which was
you're
amazing.
You're lovely and you're amazing.
Yes.
And, you're,
and she's beautiful, but she's taken, so there you go. Keep looking, folks. But as far as music, stop at Chris. Where's your website? How can people find you?
The easiest one is chrisangelis.com. It's Chris with a K, Angelis with an IS at the end.
Okay.
ChrisAngelis.com, and that has all of the links to all the other things: Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, iTunes.
Yeah, and you're connected Bandcamp. Everywhere.
Bandcamp is the best place to get music that I know of because it doesn't take as much of a commission
right.
from the artists, and so you can pay what you want and give more to the artist if you want. And also, I just wanted to let you guys know that song "Bright Side." I felt so weird about releasing it during in the midst of all of this tragedy that's been going on, and
right.
so. Because there is no bright side to some of that. And I decided to give proceeds of it to of the sales of the whole pre-sale and the first week to the victims in Las Vegas.
Amazing.
So go ahead and get that now.
Yes.
I love that.
Bandcamp.
That's my home.
So
Las
the
Vegas.
Direct
Thank
link
you.
Is really cool. chrisangelis.bandcamp.com. And that's where you can find it. Go ahead, buy it. It's just $1, man. And
yeah.
It's easy. Go ahead and do that. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having
You've
me.
You've been amazing, and we wish you much continued success.
You too.
You deserve it, you
thank
know?
Thank you.
Rachel, nice to have you back. In fact, it's
always.
Great to have you back, as always.
Great
and,
to be back.
Yes. Everybody, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.